Jorge Sivan, Monday, 27th of June, Rabbi Vic de Brazil, Chukim Umishpotim.
Last night, I'm traveling to Etzion in a couple of hours, Bezal Hashem. Last night, lost my passport, 12:30 at night. Rarely happens, been traveling for years. So I was staying in Manchester in Gateshead, so my wife asked me to phone my friend in Manchester, see if the passport is there. So I phoned him up, and so he says, no, what we'll do is we'll say the memo of Chazal, Hakol is together, Cheskes Somi, everything with Cheskes Somi, Min Ayin, etc., etc. He said these words. My wife found the passport, Baruch Hashem, not in Manchester, we didn't find him. I was thinking, if he's saying the words in Manchester, maybe we're going to find the passport in Manchester. Baruch Hashem, we found it in London. And he told me afterwards that this always works, it's never failed him. This memory of Chazal, that everything is together, Somi is hidden until the Kodesh Baruch is Megala. So I was thinking, why is it? That's a Yiddish Sgula, we call it, Yiddish Sgula. I was in, as many people know, I was in America for a while. I lived there for about 6 months, and I had a group of goyim. I became a rabbi of the goyim, had a kehilah of goyim. Just give you two incidents that happened over there. An under incident. One was, there was a lady who used to learn, I'm using her words, by the way, I'm talking in her loshen. She learned parsha every week. She came across in the parsha that says that when there's a shor baderech, where you find a chamor which is under burden, or the tzaddik, you have to help. And she wants to teach her daughter how to do Hashem's mitzvahs. I'm using her words. The goy. She doesn't know how to help her daughter to do Hashem's mitzvahs because she prays to Hashem. There are no donkeys in Lubbock, the place she lives. So how am I going to show my daughter how to be mekayem this mitzvah? So she's driving in the road in a big red car, and she sees an old woman schlepping parcels. So she's driving by the old woman. She thinks to herself, "No, maybe I should help her." She makes a kalvachomer. That's no to be heard. The kalvachomer between, if you have to help a behemoth, you've rather got to help a human being. That's unza kalvachomer. Tzar bali chayim applies to human beings as well. She makes this kol shekein. Of course, it's very delicate. You don't approach people you don't know in America. You don't smile at them. You don't look at them. Otherwise, you get taken to court and so on. But she decides finally. But this is Hashem's way of showing her how to be kind of it. So she reverses back, puts the lady in the car, drives her home, takes her out of the car, puts her baskets right up to the door, and then she turns around to her little daughter, Kazan. We didn't do this any old how, we did it because Hashem said we have to keep mitzvahs, and this, we don't have donkeys, so we're helping the lady instead, little daughter. She got a letter 2 months later, which said as follows. Do you remember that lady that you helped home? That was me, myself. I, later on, had pains in my chest, so anyway, I was sent to hospital, a major heart condition, heart attack, had a surgery and so on. And the doctors told me, had I carried those things home myself, I would be dead. Thank you for saving my life. That's the letter she got from this woman. Just that. Another one. I had a keshe with a climatologist, a lady called Raquel, a Mexican Catholic climatologist. She moved to America because she said as follows. She prayed to Hashem that if she gets a flower within 2 months through the post, she's going to move. That's how she's going to make her decision. And Enoch Hanami, on the last day of the 2 months, an old friend, she hadn't heard of for years and years and years, put in a post, sent her a flower for a birthday, just remembered her, sent a flower, moved to America. She has two children, called, now they're called Binyamin Naftali. Actually, she became a Gyorus and so on and so forth. She got this Simon Min HaShemayim. This, I want to just discuss this inyan, this approach to Simonim and Skula and Mitzvah. Our approach to these ideas. Have on the one hand, you have this Gvaldiga Skula that seems to work every time. You have this Goyim who are praying. In fact, the whole community over there, they told me that they prayed for a rabbi. And I turned up. Right? So, no, it's not fair my Bechira. They prayed for a rabbi, a teacher, and I ended up living 6 months, you know, in Ekvelt over there, etc. They prayed, and it worked. What's going on here? And before I just begin on this point to elaborate, to understand what's Tusukhto, just let me mention that this is a year of Avelus for my father, Harini Kubos Mishkovoi, and I took upon myself this year in Shul, particularly in Shul, in my Shul, to say Halacha, Hilchos Kibud Av Va'Em. One of the reasons is, I was Mechadish. If you're not Mekayim Kibud Av Va'Em properly, Bizudan Sfonsig, when a parent, when one loses a parent, then how can you keep going? So if you mechazik, at least say a shir on it, mechazik other people to do it, then it's also going to sort of, if you like, a little bit of compensation. I found that in Kadmonim. I can't even remember, I'll look it up again. One of the Kadmonim actually was mechazik that after his father's nifti, he started saying shirim kibud av va'em. It's as if the mitzvah has a life on its own. It is the mitzvah, there's a, you won't mekayim it properly, so at least get the oilum into it. Here we have a famous Gemara from the beginning, it's to do with our Pasha. Famous Gemara we all know, about goyim. Gemara tells us, at heichon kibud av va'em. To what extent does kibud av va'em go? To what extent do we have to keep kibud av va'em? And the Gemara brings actually a different ma'aseh on this, a few different inyonim. But one of the famous ones, sur ma'osoy v'tkachovim echo v'ashkelem v'doba ben sinishmoy pam achas v'tkachovim 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 v'tkachovim. He didn't wake up his father, even though he was going to gain millions, etc. He didn't do it. And the Gemara continues, the second Meiser, Avonim Le'efoid, V'shishim Ribu. Again, the same, Shishim Ribu is a large amount. Shishim Ribu is clearly so. Shishim Ribu! V'shvayim Ribu, says Rav Kana. Again, the same Meiser, V'leitzira, L'shona Acheres, not like Kodesh Bochus Chorish, not like Por Adumo. Beautiful words he says, that's the case of Eina Metzuvah V'Oisa, says the Gemara, and the Metzuvah V'Oisa. So we have this comparison in the Gemara between Kibud Av Va'Em and Porah Aduma. The classic Meforshim would tell us over here, what's the connection? Kibud Av Va'Em Porah Aduma. Kibud Av Va'Em is a mitzvah that is mevuah, it's understood, it's a svara dikazach, one has to respect, it's a chorus of toif, someone who brought you up, brought you into this world, kol shekein if they gave you a ruchni sticker, education and so on, and provided for you, you have to return that, you have to have covered and yiro for parents. That is something which is clearly understandable in how to function in society. Whereas, l'umazeh, poraduma is this week's parsha, so it's chukas ha-toyrah, and we hear that word choik, it's a statute in English we describe it as, but it's something which has no explanation. Memela, what Chazal is saying here, it's true that this goy kept kibud av va'em to this wonderful extent, he took it to this degree of kibud av va'em, but look at Klal Yisrael, who will do, who will spend, who will go to the extent of all that money and all that tircha and so on, even for something that's not understood. Kibud av va'em is called chamura shebachamurais, one of the hard mitzvahs. Some of the Amoraim and the Gemaras speak out that they're not, they were glad they didn't see their parents, so to speak. I didn't see them. Why? Because he didn't have problems. It's so hard to keep kibud av va'em properly. He was happy in that respect. He wasn't happy being a yosem, but in that respect, he was happy that he didn't have the problems to confront with kibud av va'em. Chamura shebachamurais. But let me explain the hair, and again going back to what I started off with, and understanding the hair. Why is kibud av va'em so hard? Why is kibud av va'em so hard? L'umas Poraduma. First we'll say, that it's not like that. Poraduma is much harder than Kibud Av Va'Em. Well, what's Poraduma? It's completely inverted. Each of the halachos of Poraduma are inverted. The Matayah, the Tomei, becomes Tomei. The one who speaks becomes Tomei, he becomes Toi. All the things to confuse one. So it's a very hard mitzvah to be Mekayim. What does the Torah, what does Rashi say? It says, Chukas HaToyro, Lefi Shasoton, V'Uma Yisraelom, Moinin Es Yisrael, Loima. Maha mitzvah zoi suma tam yeshbo. What is the tam? Tam, by the way, is loshen taste. Reason and taste have the same thing. It's where you're mischaber to something. You taste something, it becomes part of you. You have a tam in something, it becomes part of you. I can hear it, understand it, has meaning to me. Ma tam yeshbo. Lefichoch kosav bo chuko. Therefore, the Torah wrote as an introduction, Zois Chukas HaToyro. Gezeirahim elefonai, ein lecho reshus laharach reo. First, the question in Rashi or in the Chazal is, what does that help? What is it? There's no answer. They're moaning, they say, you're doing things, crazy things, topsy-turvy things, what does that help? Eilecharushus lahare is a gisha, is an approach. You cannot... It's an approach how to look at mitzvahs. You have no reshus to touch it, to talk about it. It's beyond your ken. It's not for you. If you've got that introduction of yiroh of a mitzvah, keep off. Stay away. Hasinai is mugbal. There's a limit. You can't come on the mountain. If you're like that, you can't touch the mitzvah. Memela, when that's your attitude, then einochonami, the question, so to speak, will start going away. If I'm sort of comfortable with the mitzvah, if I'm comfortable, I'm lax, I feel it's something that is sort of, I'm equal to, it's democratic, this mitzvah, then einochonami, you'll start, what's the point of it? But when your approach is yiro, keep off the mountain. Keep off the mountain. I had 3 days of studying a mountain. 3 days of Hagbolah, which said over in Shmuz many years. 3 days of Hagbolah, 3 days of Achonah, Kedusha. Hagbolah is a... What do you do with Hagbolah? You stand standing at a fence. I have 3 days of Hagbolah. What did you do for 3 days? 3 days of Kedusha, you did something. Achonah, you did something. Inspiration, you did something. Hagbolah. Yes, they spent 3 days being misponent on the fact that we're not on the mountain. 3 days looking, there's Taylor, there's the Rabbeinu Shlomo, there's Moshe Rabbeinu, there's the Nesina, here we are, we're limited. If your approach is limited, I am limited, and that's the Akdoma, Mamela, the questions aren't going to be so hard. But it seems to be, and the classic conventional wisdom is, that this is the hard mitzvah, the chukim are the hard mitzvahs, the mishpatim, the understandable mitzvahs are the easy mitzvahs, something we're comfortable with. We understand, kibud av aim, gzeila, kneiva, ritzicha, these are things we understand. But really it's not like that. Really it's exactly the opposite. Let me explain why. What do I mean by exactly the opposite? It's much harder keeping, and one of the reasons chamur sheba chamura is, it's harder keeping kibud av aim. Why it's harder even understanding how to keep kibud av aim and those sort of mitzvahs than it is the chukim. What is a choik? A choik is, as we explain, or we translate, is a statute in English. But a choik is something which is nechkak, which is sort of ingrained or embedded, something which is engraved in. It's chokuk, right? Chokuk and the luchos, it's chokuk, something which is part of the fabric, if you like, of the world. Part of the fabric of the metaphysical world. We have to understand as follows. Means you don't have permission to talk, to understand, to think about. These are gzeiras. When we touch a choik, we're actually touching the real, critical, metaphysical fabric of what the world is really about. And says Rabbi Yerucham, and the Mefarshim tell us that really all the mitzvahs are chukim. All the mitzvahs are chukim. What do we mean all the mitzvahs are chukim? There's no actual reason why a particular mitzvah should work or should be understood, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. All the mitzvahs are gzeiras. We have that in the Gemara and Brachas as well. You're supposed to be mekabel mitzvahs because they are gzeiras. What is a gzeira? What is a mitzvah? It's a gzeira that Rabbeinu Shlomo put in somehow in nature. This became part of the building block, the structure of nature, and that is a mitzvah. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megale to us, or made it easier for us to approach, to understand, to be with, to be part of the mitzvah. And therefore he gave it in an understanding way. He created, if you like, according to Brisker Rav, it was the other way around. He created the logic of life according to the mitzvah. Since there's a mitzvah of lo signoi, therefore it became nasty to steal. Since there's a mitzvah of lo sitzach, then it became bad, then we understand one shouldn't kill. But it began with the mitzvah, and the sfora, and the understanding came afterwards. In other words, all the mitzvahs really are chukim. Let me explain it another way. And this was the challenge I had with these goyim that I spoke to them. Why are they doing what they're doing? Why are they praying and getting answered? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. We don't function like that. We function a completely different way, a completely different level. In order to understand that, we have to look at the Kuzri. It's a Bamish 3 minutes. Into the Kuzri. The Kuzri is probably one of the first sforim, philosophical Haredi sforim, written. Most of us know the story, King of the Khuzars. Whether it was true 100% or not is a debate. Not 100% clear, Gaon says Azoi, Ander says Azoi, whether it was actually the story, or put it like this, there definitely was a tribe called the Kuzas, but was the Sefer Kuzi written on the facts of a conversation between the king and a Talmud Chacham or not? Whether yay or nay, this was Rabbi Yehuda Levi, one of the Rishonim, wrote this treatise to explain religion. And his explanation goes like this. Very, very simple point, the theme of the Kuzri, but it's something we need really to absorb within ourselves, to really chatzach what our mitzvah is about. Particularly mitzvahs which we understand. Particularly mitzvahs of an Omer Chaveret. So the Kuzri like this. I'm saying the Kuzri, I mean the Sefer Kuzri. The story begins with a king who has a recurring dream. He has decided to be religious. He has decided that there's a God. He's going to worship a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He builds himself Mishkan, so to speak, in his Beach, and he puts on the Godim like a Kohen and so on. And he starts offering up Korbanos. He gets a recurring dream. Three times the dream comes to him. Basically, that's the story. But it says as follows, Kavanoscha Ratsuyo, your Kavana is Ratsui, is pleasing to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Masecho Einon Ratsuyo, but your actions are not Ratsuyo. That's the Gevalde Gedaga. He had Kavona Lishmo. Magoshiki, Kavona Lishmo. But your actions are not Ritzuya. What does that mean? So the theme of the Sefer Kuzri goes like this. The theme of the Sefer is, which is our Torah and our mitzvahs, and this is how we confront any Goyish Christian idea of what religion is about. The theme of the Kuzri is, no. You cannot ever get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without doing what he says. He gives you instructions, which are the mitzvahs. If you put on tefillin, you might have been moisen nefesh to buy them, to shech the animal for them. You might have done all the right things. Not only that, you might have spent thousands. You might have walked hundreds of miles. You might have done whatever. But if it's not square, if it's not actually square, the tefillin, possible, doesn't work. If your esug has one small hole in it, but it's all the way through, mefulish all the way through, it might be the most beautiful mehudit esug. If you davened, if you prayed but the wrong time, you're not yotzei tefillah bizmanu. The yisoid, and this is yisoid, the fundamental of Torah, Orthodox Yiddishkeit, is this yisoid. That the only way you can get close to Rabbein Shloim is by doing the instructions. Now, of course, it's important later on to have meaning, to have kavana, to build up, to develop, to get depth in everything, to feel part of it, to have the power and the glory and all the wonderful things that you can have. But the Yisrael, I said, without those actions, because those actions, when Rabbeinu Shlomo created the world, he created a spiritual world, just like there are physical laws, and there are bricks, and there's gravity, and there's the evaporation of water, and all these physical laws which create rain and sun, you know, heat waves like we have today. All these things that are in the physical world, there are even more so in the spiritual world. If you put your tefillin on like that, you have done something in a spiritual sense which performs, which brings something called Shef Eloki, says the Kuzri. If you do a prayer at a certain time, Shef Eloki. The tzitzit at a certain time, Shef Eloki. If you don't, you don't get it. Kavanoscha Ratsuyo. Ma'asecha Einon Ratsuyo. It won't work. Afterwards, fine, kavanas, aliyahs, kavanas arizal, whatever it is, in tefillah, you could grow, become, but the ikar yisoid, and that is the yisoid of what we understand, how we associate with the Rebbeinu Shloim, is by our maisim, which are all be'etz and gzeiras. All the maisim are really gzeiras. All the mitzvahs are really chukim. Because the mitzvahs are choik, that builds the world. Which world? The Rebbeinu Shloim's world, the Kedusha Tikkun world. Sometimes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu graciously allowed us to understand them. Sometimes, it's Seyd HaChoyk. Seyd HaChoyk, like for Adumah. So, it's really actually much harder. This is in comparison to the Goyim. The Goyim don't have mitzvahs. They don't have instructions. They don't have structure or framework or a metaphysical reality like that. The Mela, when they have to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they have to sort of do it in this direct way. Well, I'll pray to Hashem and see if something will happen. And I'll have an omen like this and a sign like that, which sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work, and so on. And if it's a Novi Sheker, sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't work. And they've got all sorts of sometimes things happen, sometimes don't. But the way they have to approach, they have no means, they have no Torah, they have no mitzvah, whereby, how do you get close to Rebbeinu Shloim? I get close to Rebbeinu Shloim by doing the mitzvahs. I don't get close to Bnei Shalom by jumping up there, by going up towards him. I do it by putting my head down and doing what he says in this world. When I create, I make through my mitzvahs the structures that Kodesh Baruch Hu put in for creating this world, metaphysical, spiritual, and the above, and even the physical world. That is a completely different outlook, a way of looking at Rabbeinu Shlomo. After Matan Torah, that's it. That's how we get close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. There are no shortcuts. There are no wonderful sort of glorious epiphanies that you can have and you can feel. That's not Shaykh. We do it through mitzvahs and instructions through mitzvahs. Mele works out, interestingly enough, that it's much harder doing a mitzvah which you understand and a mitzvah you don't understand. Because since the yesoid, the real yesoid of a mitzvah is it's a choik. It's a way of building a Kodesh Baruch Hu's world according to what he created and how he created the world. And that's what it really is. It's really a gzeirah. So when one does a mitzvah which is a mishpat, or one does a mitzvah which is understandable, something which you have an affinity to, you feel you believe in it, etc., you don't feel you're really doing it as a bonus for him's instruction. Kibud avim, it's understood, I understand, I have to have koras atoiv, I need to be grateful, not to be ungrateful. Chas v'sholom, I need to do that. How much do we feel? But it's a gzeirim elfonai. I am building an oilom of ruchnis with kibud avim. Person, it's very hard to feel that. Particularly with some parents, perhaps as well. You know, it's very hard. You're building some spirituality. You're building a spiritual world by doing these actions, making a cup of tea, and so on. This is very, very, very hard. When you do something which is kaviyochel in our eyes, ritualistic, pora duma, understand that's pure spiritual things in the base of Mikdash with korbanos. We may not understand burning this up and doing it like this and sprinkling. That's a religious thing. I feel that's a very religious thing. So if I once I've understood, so now it's a religion, so I do religious practice. But when it's been omachaveri, when it's in actions which I understand, I feel that's a religious thing, that's very, very hard. So lehepuch, it's in other words, the Gemara, in Kedushin, it's really one is mochiach on the other. Even the way the goy would do kibud avim, the way we would do kibud avim would be different. In other words, he did kibud avim, very rational mitzvah. Gevaldik has big schar for it as well. Godlam suveisa, enum suveisa, Gemara carries on, etc. What's pshat godlam suveisa kunz in that? The fact that we do parah aduma tells us that the reason we do kibud avim is the same reason as parah aduma. And when we'll do it, we'll still be doing it as is gzeirim milafonai. And I'll still have that element of that halacha and a mahalachin, how to connect to Rabbeinu Shloilom by building his world, even with mitzvahs which apparently seem to be just societal mitzvahs, things that help the functioning of society. And that has ramifications of halacha. Most of our ritualized and strictures and mehudorim, ahidurim, and the hafrumkeit goes always in Beinod Lomokum. Beinod Lomokum is how we perform in a frum way. Beinod Lomokum is very, very rare. I'll just take an example. We say, kibud avim. Lemaisa, Rabbi Yoshi, for instance, Paskins, or I would put it, not Paskins, he gives an etzer. Of Shemach Lal Kvayde Kvayde Mochu. About the, we know the father could be mochu in his cover. But there's a mitzvah deraisa to stand up for a father. And Rabbi Yoshev advises at least do it twice a day. Shaila halacha, how many times you have to do it anyway? Maybe you only have to do it twice a day, maybe you have to do it 100 times every time they come in and out. But what say twice a day? To stand up for a parent. Stand up. But how do you stand up? You know, I've seen people standing up sort of reluctant, sort of unclining of sort of their limbs, sort of they just pop up for a second and sort of sink down again and so on. The crisp movement, to stand up, so it's a mitzvah mehuda. It's a mitzvah. It's not stam anything, it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah means, I've got a luluf, make it mehuda. I've got tzitzis, big tzitzis, with all the hidurim, lishma, etc., etc. It's a mitzvah. It means you stand up like that, that's attention, those, and then you sit down. One of the great examples we saw was with Shmuel Obach. He'll tell me, fine, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman, but he was with Shmuel Obach. And Shmuel Obach used to stand up for Shlomo Zalman in the base of Medrash. Shlomo Zalman would walk in at the back. He would be sitting in the front learning. He'd see his father. He'd be crouched down like that, and all of a sudden, like that, like with a euro on a euro, until his father walks by, where he gets to his seat, look, follow him with his eyes, and then sit down again. Right? It's a mitzvah say deraisa. For women have hardly any mitzvah say deraisa, just by the way. Daily. It's a mitzvah say deraisa. To do that twice a day, you get two extra points, two extra mitzvahs. Creating worlds with that. But we don't see it like that. No, this is where this father is standing up, it's a modern zach, it's an odd thing to do, and so on. But it's a mitzvah say device which has a structure ritual. You've got your tefillah, tefillah is a ritual, you've got your tefillah, you've got your sittis, you've got your mezuzah, it's all clear, the halachas. Once more, we have many, many, many examples of this stress on the ritual where we go into the detail and we're makpid on, whereas if it's in a sort of more bedol chavero, we're not so makpid. That's called frumkai. Shiach used to call that frumkai. The person has a drive, an instinct to be religious. That he will, so that it will result in him performing mitzvahs between man and God and not mitzvahs between man and his fellow. You've got many examples of that in the Torah. One classic one, Mim Mizbechit Kechanolomus, or Ritzeach. Ritzeach just killed someone and now he's standing by the Mizbech, wants to do the Avodah. He's in the middle of the Avodah. How's it shy? He just killed someone. No, this is God, this is God. That's something else. The Gemara tells us, or the Chazal tell us, in the Pasuk in Emma, the Emma Pasuk says like this, in the middle of the Pasha of the Kabonas comes Matnas Hanim. What is the union of Matnas Aniyim in the middle of Kavanas? To tell you that someone who's Mafrish, Matnas Aniyim, Korowi, someone who takes Matnas Aniyim properly, correctly, as it ought to be done, it's as if he brought up Kavanas in the Beis HaMikdosh. Kavanas in the Beis HaMikdosh, one would say, is the peak, the acme of our avoidance, when other lamokum, you're standing, you're being makri, you're offering up sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Kodshim, not the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Kodshim, you know, you bring up in the Azora, you're there, that's the height of your avoider. Someone who gives dhokha to an oni, koroi, and I always stress the word koroi. Because in all these halachas, the base of Mikdash, the Mizbeah has to be like that, and the Kohen has to be like that, and if there's a mum, how many besechtas we got? How many halachas packed like that? So how do you give stock or koroi? Well, just give stock, just give stock, just give stock. Koroi means there's a rule, how much you have to give, how you have to give it, where you have to give it, with your right hand, with your left hand, sitting up, sitting down, who to, who's first, who's second, etc., etc. No, that's sort of, these are mitzvahs which aren't ritualized. I give stock. No, koroi! Rabbi Yochum used to say, back to Kibbutz Avayim, how does one write a letter? I always describe this to Bokrim. It's very hard to describe to Bokrim this, because I have to spell what is a letter, what is write, and what is a pen. They don't know nowadays what is letter, what is write, what is a pen. It's not shaykh to Bokrim Kimah. Right? They have these things, they press all the time, etc., and there's gaiters or phone calls. But in the old days, Rabbi Yochum's day, they had no electricity, Kimah. Write a letter home. Says Rabbi Yochum, you take a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper, you write a letter. And on the letter, you write something, instead of a scribble, a scramble, on a sort of crumpled piece of paper which has got blots in it and so on, and then you just write, you'd like some chocolate or something like that, or some more money. You write some chubidika letter, what your father's interested in. You write it on clean paper. You write it until it comes out cleanly, so you write it 10 times until you get it clear. Because now you'll be Mekayim, a mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim, Rabbi Yoshi, for instance, Baskin, it goes out your day ksiva as well. If they want you to mevaka them, to visit them, you visit them. Want you to write letters, you write letters. You're Mekayim, a mitzvah. This is a hefta of mitzvah. Your esrig, your lulav, your tefillin, mehuda, mehuda, mehuda. This is a hefta of mitzvah, just the same as your tefillin is. And therefore it should be mehuda, it should be beautiful, it should be readable, it should be something that your father wants to hear, and so on. That is Kibbutz Avayim. That's a mehuda. That's a hit. That's a hit as well. That is a little bit of an insight into thinking about the mitzvahs we have to do. Kibbutz Avayim, and all ben on the chaver, but I was just using Kibbutz Avayim as an example, is a gzeira. It's a chok. At source, it's a chok. It looks understandable, and that helps us keep it. Otherwise, it'd be too hard to keep it. But at source it's a chok, which means at source it has the same strictures, has the same structures, and the same frameworks, the same definitions, and the same halachas, if you like, that you have to be makpid on, and it's got the same diuk. Has to be done carefully in the same way as a person has when he has his tefillin, when he writes his tefillin, when he has all that sort of hiddur, which everyone understands has to be mehuda in ritual, even though they're more of a chok. That's a chok, and when in chukim, as I said, we always understand the ritual part. You have to understand that in Baron Lechaber as well. There's Hashem, if we do both together, keep both mitzvahs together, the Baron Lechaber and Baron Lechaber, so it's chukas ha-Torah, the chok of the Torah. The Torah is a chok. Chukas ha-Torah, Torah is a chok. All the mitzvahs are really chukim. But as Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that we strive to keep equally Baron Lechaber and Baron Lechaber, the mishpotim and the chukim. Both of them we keep, whether we understand it, whether we don't. But we keep them with all the chumrah, with all the hiddah. Be'ez Hashem, Be'ez Shalom will see that and bring us a Yeshua b'Mehirah.